The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it's not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. If you've ever been in Europe or in Rome, where I lived about 7 years in preparation for being ordained to the priesthood, you're some of the greatest artists in the world. I'm sure you've heard of Michelangelo, as well as Leonardo da Vinci, two of the greatest. Leonardo da Vinci is famous for many masterpieces in art, but possibly the most famous is his depiction of the Last Supper. If you speak Italian, Ultima Cena, if you're Italian speaker. But it's very interesting how he was able to paint this picture. So what he did was this. He decided that he would choose spontaneously 13 men, you know, the 12 apostles and Jesus, and they would pose for the painting. And this was going to take a little bit of time. So he starts off by encountering a very attractive, handsome, well-groomed young man. And he asks if he'll pose as Jesus. And the man says, "Yes, I will." Then he was able to find Peter and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and James the Less and Simon the Zealot and Judas Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot, Andrew. So he got 12 of them. But he couldn't seem to find that nefarious figure that we call Judas Iscariot. So he was looking all over to find someone who might fit the picture of Judas Iscariot. So one occasion he's walking the streets of Rome and he sees a man that's basically thrown in the gutter. We would say one of those homeless beggars that we see in the streets of L.A. or New York or Chicago or Paris or any city for that matter. So Da Vinci draws close and he looks at this man. He's got long hair, he's got a long beard, disheveled hair, he's got ripped pants, he's got a terrible smell of urine. He's laying in his vomit. Not a pretty spectacle, huh? So Da Vinci draws close and says to the man, "Will you do me a favor?" He says, "What?" "Will you do me a favor? I'm painting the Last Supper. And I have Jesus and 11 the apostles, but I haven't found Judas Iscariot. I think you would fit the picture perfectly." That moment, Da Vinci saw these two tears that were welling out of his eyes and dripping down his cheek. And Da Vinci asks him, "Why are you crying?" "See, I'm crying because 2 years ago you asked me to pose in your painting and I was Jesus Christ." That's the gospel today. All of us cringe when we hear Judas Iscariot, but he's part of the gospel. You can't do selective reading, get out your scissors and cut out Judas. You can't do that. He's there for a reason. Do any of you know who is known as the second apostle of Rome? I have a first-class relic of Ignatius and also of him. He lived at the same time as St. Ignatius, and he was the spiritual director of Ignatius, Charles Borromeo. His name was St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri, who carried with him a Bible and a joke book, because he liked a lot of humor. Once he was walking through the streets of Rome, and he saw a bum laying in the gutter. And he said, "With your permission, I'll say it in Italian, ecco me senza la grazia di Dio." If you know, Spanish and Italian are very similar. Ecco me, in French would be a voila, in English, behold, there go I, save the grace of God. There go I, save the grace of God. St. Paul says this, "When you're standing, careful that you don't fall." When you're standing, careful that you don't fall. Ever happen that you're walking and there's a powerful gust of wind and it's almost knocked you over and it took you by surprise? Happened to all of us. Happened to all of us. We happen to be in the Church of Saint Therese of Lisieux. So all of you are experts in Carmelite spirituality, I'd have to say, right? Hello? Well, you should be. It's your parish, right? Saint Therese, in her literary masterpiece, The Story of the Soul, she says this. She says that I would be capable of the most horrendous, heinous crimes and sins of God if it were not for the grace of God. This is possibly the most famous modern saint in the world with Padre Pio. St. Francis, at the end of his life, said, I could still be a father of 10 children. The old man was still kicking, huh? St. Francis, no? But I'll tell you, I think St. Therese gives us the secret. She says this. The only reason why I did not commit so many horrendous sins is because God cleared the way. God cleared the way. Try to imagine you're running the 100 or maybe the 50-yard dash if you can't run 100 because you're getting older, huh? If you have a lot of obstacles in the path, you're probably going to trip. But if those obstacles are cleared off, you'll be able to run the 100, okay? When you were in 10th grade, you ran it in 13.2, and I ran it in 19.5, huh? But once the path is cleared, once a path is cleared, you can make it. So my friends, the fact that we're here tonight, and many of you are here for the last week of the exercises, is purely the grace of God. Amen? I'm going to be giving a course on the Acts of the Apostles, focusing a lot upon the Holy Spirit. Okay? A lot on the Holy Spirit. Because as a whole, most of us don't really know the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest, we don't. The Acts of the Apostles is known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is so very important. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that very few people can explain, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that the first one in operation, according to Thomas Aquinas, is what? Fear of the Lord. The greatest is wisdom. But fear of the Lord is the first one in operation according to the angelic doctor, Thomas Aquinas. And what is fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. And it's a keen awareness that all of us are very, very weak. Let me tell you a story. This story I think you're going to like. It's a story of two of the most renowned Western fathers of the church. You know what the fathers of the church are? It's called in theology patristics. Okay? Patris is Latin for father. You've got the Western fathers and you have the Eastern fathers. Who are the Western fathers? Okay, they're Jerome, Ambrose, Augustine, and St. Gregory the Great. Those are called the Western Fathers of the Church. I really like this story I'm going to tell you. I think you're going to like it too. St. Jerome is... St. Jerome is arguing with St. Augustine. These are two of the greatest minds in the Catholic Church. These are the two greatest minds in the Catholic Church, probably in the top 10, both of them. And Jerome, who lived a pretty innocent life, not perfect, but he didn't give in to sexual immorality as did Augustine. Augustine was not converted until he was 31, reading his confessions. So, Jerome was condemning Augustine for his immoral life that he lived until he was 31. And Augustine would pray, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. Okay? You know what Augustine said? He said this. The only reason why you didn't fall into the... you did not plunge into the mud of sin because God, by His grace, He preserved you. And the only reason why I'm right here now, living a life of grace, is because God pulled me out of the sin. Wow. Think about that. Jerome, the fact that he did not plunge into sexual immorality, pure grace of God. And the reason why Augustine was pulled out of sexual immorality so he could live in the state of grace was the pure grace of God. I'd like to tell one more anecdote. Many summers when I was a child, my parents would travel from New York and New Jersey to Detroit, Michigan. Because I was born in Michigan, but my dad moved out of it, so all of my relatives stayed there in Michigan. And every summer I'd spend maybe 2 or 3 weeks with my cousins. One of my cousins was maybe about 2 years older than me. We'd always go to Mass on Sunday, always. He went on to study transcendental meditation. Now, you people who are younger don't know what that is. The transcendental meditation, today we call it the New Age movement. Okay? But you who are my age, you probably remember the TM, okay? Transcendental meditation, which is really strong in the 60s and 70s. So even to this day, he's probably one of the most prominent, he's got a doctorate, prominent teachers of transcendental meditation in Chicago in the Midwest. Now, why is he teaching TM and I, his cousin, preaching to you right now? I don't think that I was any better than him. I really don't. I don't. Why am I a Catholic priest and he a prominent teacher of transcendental meditation, which is a lot of hogwash, really? It's the New Age movement. That's really what it is. Why don't I have a doctorate in TM and he be an archbishop in Chicago or Detroit? The pure grace of God. I don't think that I merit to be here more than anyone else. So when I think about Judas, I think about the fact that all of us could be a Judas. Hello? We are all capable of doing the most horrendous things. Now, why did Judas fall? If you read sacred scripture, superficially, I know what you're going to say. He was a thief, he would steal money, that's the reason why the capital sin of avarice. Okay, that's just a symptom. Fulton Sheen, I love Fulton Sheen. Hopefully he'll be canonized and made a doctor of the church one day, okay? You've heard of Fulton Sheen, all of you? How many of you met him personally? Ah, one-upmanship, huh? Yeah. What a privilege, huh? He said this, the principal reason why Judas betrayed Jesus is because he fell out of love with Jesus. You hear that? He fell out of love with Jesus. What is the purpose of the exercises, my friends? To fall in love with Jesus. Right? That's the primary purpose of these exercises. It's not simply to get a bigger head. Oh, I know the exercises, okay? A watermelon head, okay? I know the exercises, no? But more than anything else, is we want to fall in love with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what you're doing this week, meditating upon the Passion of Christ. No greater love than to give one's life for another. So let's pray. St. Alphonsus Liguori says this. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Amen? The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. So we're here today, but look at all your relatives. I talked about my cousin, Kenny Smith is his name. Look at all your relatives. Where are they? They've all jumped ship. They've all abandoned the practice of the Catholic faith. And you're here this very evening on the threshold of the Easter Vigil doing the spiritual exercises. God has a special love for all you people. But the more that God gives us, the more we are responsible to give to others. So let's pray, my friends, that these spiritual exercises, that we would be generous with God. God loved us. Now it's our turn to love Him back. Amen.